Today, we're talking to Dr. David Cooper, Acting Executive Chief of the Secretariat of the UN Convention on Biological Diversity. Dr. Cooper, thank you very much for being with us today. As we observe the International Day for Biological Diversity, is it okay to say Happy Biodiversity Day? How do you feel about the current state of nature?
This is a very good question. Biodiversity is under threat. Biodiversity, the diversity of plants, animals, microorganisms, interactions between these is incredibly important. It underpins really the function of ecosystems, which then deliver for us food, clean water. It helps also to protect us against natural disasters. Unfortunately, we are losing biodiversity. We've been losing biodiversity over the last 50 years at greater rates than ever before. And this is due to a range of factors. The biggest driver of biodiversity loss, particularly on land, is land use change. And in turn, obviously, food and agricultural systems are important there. Also development, urbanization, and so on. And related to that, fragmentation as we build highways and other communication infrastructure. The next biggest is overexploitation, particularly in the oceans, so overfishing, but also overhunting and overharvesting of plants as well on land. Climate change is increasingly a threat, and the scientific projections suggest that in the decades to come, it will become the biggest threat, in fact. And other problems are caused by pollution, a whole range of issues there, including from the overuse of nutrients, so overuse of fertilizers, but also waste from cities, pesticides, and now increasingly, of course, plastic pollution. And then finally, invasive alien species. So species in the wrong place where they may, through trade or travel, be moved from one place to another, where they don't have their natural predators or other natural enemies, and they can disrupt ecosystems.
Out of those species that are under threat, which are of the most concern?
It tends to be the larger organisms that are particularly under threat, so large mammals in particular, partly because they need large areas in the landscape. And so as the landscape gets converted or fragmented, they're influenced, but also because they may be the target of hunting or consumption and so on. But increasingly, we're seeing a whole range of species become threatened. Particularly threatened right now are amphibians, particularly in a number of tropical areas through a combination of, again, land use change, climate change, but also disease that spreads from one part of the world to another and affects populations that are not immune, that don't have the immunity to these diseases. Another major category that's really threatened are coral reefs. If we're thinking of a sort of community or ecosystem, one of the most threatened because of climate change interacting with coastal development, overfishing and the like. And as temperatures increase, become more and more threatened. And in fact, this is one of the emblematic groups in looking at climate action. We're losing coral reefs through coral bleaching and other problems related to climate change. With 1.5 degrees change, coral reefs are going to be severely harmed. But with 2 degrees change or more, the projections are they could be wiped out from many, many parts of the world. Beyond there, now we're seeing many insect species also being threatened, for instance, and some of these are really important. For example, pollinators that are responsible for pollinating our most nutritious crops, the fruits and the vegetables, those that contribute to our diets. Already for those animal-pollinated crops, the yield potential, the production potential is a third less than it would be because of declines in the abundance and in the diversity of pollinators. So the IPBES, the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, they estimate that unless we take action urgently, 1 million species could be threatened.
What tools are there to take those actions? How are those mechanisms are implemented? What in particular is the Kunming-Montreal framework?
The Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework is the world's plan to halt and reverse biodiversity loss. It was adopted under the Convention on Biological Diversity in December 2022 in Montreal. It includes four major goals to conserve and restore nature, to prosper with nature, that is to benefit from nature's contributions, to share benefits fairly, and then to invest and collaborate for nature. And we call this the Biodiversity Plan. To achieve those four big goals, there are 23 more precise action targets. And these are very ambitious targets for 2030. And these targets are to address the drivers of biodiversity loss that I mentioned before, but it is an ambitious plan. And so now the challenge is to implement it. So these are some key tools. Then, of course, they have to be translated at the national level. And there, you have economic instruments, incentives, you have regulatory approaches. And there is good evidence for this is where you take action, where governments and actors take action, you can make a difference. You can reverse these trends. And there's a number of examples of that. Perhaps one very obvious one is the reduction in the rate of deforestation in Brazil since they've reinstated policies to address deforestation in the Amazon. There's at another end of the spectrum, if you like, we've had specific actions to protect certain species. Where they've been implemented, we can see the recovery of species. So action works, but you need political will to make it happen. We have to look at also, I think, at the local level, working with people on the ground. We know, for example, that some of the biggest successes have come from essentially recognizing the rights of indigenous peoples and local communities over their territory so that they can protect those areas from change.
Speaking of incentives, this year's theme for the day is be part of the plan. So you have already outlined the plan, which is to attain certain sustainability goals in the area of biodiversity. And is there a plan open to individuals, in particular to young people?
Young people have been major advocates for this plan in the first place. Their voice was also incredibly important in the negotiation of the plan, in the adoption of the plan, to ensure that it was a ambitious and also balanced and fair in terms of looking at financing as well as looking at the overall objectives. And young people were also instrumental in ensuring that this plan has a solid foundation in human rights and in the right to a clean, healthy, and sustainable environment, and gender and intergenerational equity. And indeed, there are specific targets in the plan focused on the engagement of all sectors of society, including young people, that there should be a gender-responsive approach, and also that those at the front line of defending nature, human rights defenders of wildlife, are protected and have access to justice. So all these elements are in the plan, and these are, in fact, incredibly important. I think, to answer the broader question, everyone has to be part of this plan. So this means governments, but it means also within governments, all sectors. We can't expect environment ministers to achieve the goals and targets if their counterparts in governments are not also enacting policies that are going in the right direction as well, particularly in areas of food and agriculture, infrastructure development, and so on. And then we need the whole of society engaged, from businesses. I mentioned a little while ago that we have one target focused on how businesses can be engaged, but consumers, citizens as well. So individuals, what can they do? Certainly, individual actions to move towards more sustainable consumption. Often this is relates to other benefits that, in terms of healthy lives and as well, but also in making sure their voices are heard, in pushing for policies, in voting in elections for those candidates that are going to support action on biodiversity. One thing that we know is that there's in many, many countries, a majority of people who would like to see stronger action on biodiversity and on the environment and on climate change more as well. They don't realize they're in a majority. And so perhaps less likely to act than if they realize that they are in a majority. And likewise, politicians are perhaps less ambitious and bold than they could be. I think we need to leverage this invisible majority, so to speak, for greater action on climate change and to protect nature. We need everyone to be part of the plan.